Well, this morning is really an interesting thing has happened in that for some reason we have no connection. And we don't know why, and sometimes, you know, in technology all I know is you need experts, and even then sometimes they don't know the solutions immediately, and so you have to work at things. And I believe actually the lack of connection, the technology not working this morning is all going to back up my message that God has put on my heart for us as a church. But the outworking of this practically for me is that I unusually have prepared a lot of images. So I'm going to have to act the images rather than you see them on the screen, unless miraculously it all happens. Still no signal, you see. No, it's not happening. But anyway, let's get on with the word and just trust the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you. You say to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what is the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. And I want to pray this morning that each one of us will have a renewal of mindset and also faith imparted into our hearts so that we may know your good, perfect, and pleasing will. And Jesus, we pray that you will be glorified. Thank you that as we've celebrated communion, you have brought us into relationship with yourself. Thank you that we are forgiven of all our sins. Thank you that we've been made righteous and holy in your sight. But Lord, we also need to know clearly how to walk in this new life that you have given us. And so help us today to understand with spiritual understanding that we might properly adjust our lives to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus, you will know this if you know him at all and have read the word. He's the most brilliant and best leader of all time. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is the most brilliant and best leader of all time. In any sphere of life, you can learn about leadership in any way because that's who Jesus is and was and always will be. Of course, he is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. But he exemplified leadership and how mankind was created to live their lives. And one of the most important priorities that Jesus gave to life was relationships. Relationships were a priority to Jesus. And he came to reorder mankind's thinking, people's thinking about relationships. In fact, a guy who was a religious leader, probably very, very, very well known. He knew the word of God and he was probably quite famous in that day. I don't know. He came to Jesus knowing that the Jews had boiled down the law, the Old Testament, to 613 rules or laws. That's all. 613. That's quite a lot of rules and laws so that you can walk right with God. And this religious leader came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, could you please tell me what in your view is the most important commandment of all? And I can imagine him, if he was honest, saying 613 is a bit of overload in my life. It's a bit much. I don't know. I kind of work on one thing, but I realize I'm leaving out 612. Have you ever felt like that in your Christian life? You're working on one thing, but you're leaving out. And I think he came saying, help. But Jesus, he answered and he said, this is the most important, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And he didn't ask for the second one. He said, I only want one. But Jesus gave him two because he put an and in. And the other is just like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that interesting? The guy didn't bargain on getting two. But basically, Jesus said, if you do this, you will kind of walk in the will of God. Because loving God means that you will do what he wants with your life. And loving God will have an outworking in loving others. And so I find that fascinating that Jesus, the most brilliant leader, was able to make life so clear and so simple. And I think sometimes we struggle with a lack of clarity as Christians because we know that we want to do the will of God. If you have a new heart and you're born again, you actually have a desire to serve God and do what he wants. It's in you through his spirit, his new life in you. But sometimes you just feel a little bit overwhelmed. And I think even with these two commands that Jesus said, if you fulfill these two, then you will fulfill everything. Actually, well, the law is summed up probably in those two commands. Even that for me is like, can't do that. Anybody in the room ever feel like, I can't do that, I can't love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength? If you feel you can do that, come up on the platform and preach. And let alone love your neighbor as yourself. And so I realize actually that the Christian life, while Jesus says this is what you are to do, he doesn't leave us without the power to do it. He gives us his spirit. And I want to start by saying that. Whenever you see that the will of God is clearly presented before you like it is this morning, you actually say, you know what, I need the Holy Spirit to fulfill the life that Jesus has come to give me and called me to walk in. You see, relationships were a priority, and God made us, created mankind to be connected with God. And so Jesus said, priority is relationships. The priority is to live connected with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And when God made mankind, he made man in this perfect environment, out of a perfect relationship, a connection with him. And Adam and Eve lived in a perfect union or agreement or oneness with God. And miraculously, because of that, they lived together in harmony, in unity. There was no disconnection or separation ever in the mind of God for mankind or for his creation. And Adam and Eve lived in the presence of God. They lived in the dimension of relationship with one another. And they also lived connected to the purpose of God. And this was what God made mankind for. Now, you know that Adam's sin disconnected us all from God. Sin entered through Adam, his disobedience to the command of God. He could have stayed. He had no sin nature. He had nothing but a desire to be with God and to be right with God. But he was tempted by the enemy and sinned. And through his sin, mankind was separated from God, disconnected. Just like that system failure that we've had this morning with the screen and the computer, total disconnect. Like a lamp, if you imagine, designed for the purpose of shining light. or a hairdryer designed to dry your hair, or a kettle made to boil water. Unplugged equals useless. It just looks the same, but there's no power or life, because the fall or sin separated man so devastatingly that all life, the life of God, the eternal life of God, was lost. And God and man no longer were together. God, yes, was around, because our God is omnipresent even today. He's everywhere. But he lives in a separated relationship with all of those who have not received him as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But to all who believe in Jesus, to all who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are born again. They are replugged, reconnected with God's life. And now mankind can live in the design that God has already always planned for man, to live in relationship with him and to live in this relational togetherness with each other and to live in the purpose for which he created us. You see, life just doesn't work unplugged, disconnected, as we see this morning. The very real sign of the message. Unplugged equals no good. And when Jesus came, he realized that the biggest problem in people's lives was disconnection, separation. He came to change that. He came to connect us with God again. He came to connect to people who were disconnected and separate, because after the fall, after sin, came all kinds of problems relationally. Husbands and wives started to have some problems. Family life started to break up. So much so that hate, murder, jealousy, covetousness, all the things that are anti-love crept in. All the things that actually cause people the biggest problems, and this world, the biggest problems is all through division and hate. And we have nations rising up against nations. Even in our own nation, you've got separatist points of views, separatist people, all banding together for their own little causes and agendas. And so that's why the cross is the most wonderful, wonderful power of God for those who are being saved. We understand that the cross accomplished all that this disconnection had devastated. It brought back the plan of God, and it brought mankind back to living in this life-giving connection by being back with God through faith. See, Jesus came to deal with all that separated us from God and each other. He came to change lives that didn't work and bring them back into work. We have a common friend, a few of us, whose life, he's probably 40 now. And he's in a pretty bad state at the moment. We've known him for years, since we've been here, really. And this man, he knows all about Jesus. Many of us have witnessed to him. But he just doesn't want Jesus. But he is lonely, isolated, in a mess. Every job he takes fails. He's a very intelligent man. He's got lots of kind of gifts, you could say. He could go far in life. But he's in relational failure, because his relationships will never work without the divine connection. His life won't work like the lamp, the hairdryer, the kettle, unless it's plugged in right to the life source and the power of God. And so he continues to live disconnected and miserable, and his life is in failure. And that's why the good news of Jesus Christ is so good. There is no better news than the gospel of Jesus Christ, Because Jesus came to bring the kingdom of heaven, and he came to bring mankind back to the original intention that God had. Male and female together. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son does not have life. That's Jesus, the Son of God. I love that scripture. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son, he who has Jesus, has life. He who doesn't have Jesus does not have life. It's like the difference between a plug and a lamp being switched on and in to a lamp with no power source. It's as clear and as simple as that. And now today, for those of us who have received Jesus Christ, we know that Christ now lives in us. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Connection, divine life is back. And we have the power, the potential to accomplish all that God asks us, to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Scripture says we have this treasure in jars of clay. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure, Christ in us, the Son. We don't just have a little bit of power. We have the person, the Son of God, Christ, by his Spirit living in us. Wow. We have this treasure. That's another description of Christ in us. You understand that, don't you? This treasure is God himself. We have this treasure in jars of clay. In other words, in this seemingly normal physical body. It looks ordinary, but there's nothing ordinary about this body. And there's nothing ordinary about yours. Because Christ lives in you. You are not an ordinary person. How could you be if you have the Son? Because you have life, divine life, all-powerful life, holy life, the character of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show. I love that. I love scripture because it doesn't just say he's to be kind of living on the inside till I go to glory. He wants to show up. He wants to be on show. And he wants to show that the power, this all-surpassing power, is of God, not of us. In other words, he wants to do things in each one of our lives where people say, now that is not normal. You look ordinary, but that wasn't ordinary. The way you love that person, it's not ordinary. It's extraordinary. The way you do that, the way you speak, the way you act, the things you do, you're showing another power source that I don't have. You've got power to love that I don't have. People should be looking at Christians saying, I don't know where they get that patience, that love. I don't know where they get that I believe all things, hope all things, endures all things, kind of faithful love that sticks. Hello? They'll stick through every storm. These Christians are showing another power source, that the all-surpassing power may be of God and not of us. And so the cross is wonderful because it means that we have the right to be called children of God now through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a work of grace. It's not our own works. But the cross also did something else. Let's look at, if you've got your Bible there, turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. The cross accomplished not just an individual who had God living in them through the Holy Spirit, a new creation. The cross accomplished something that is also, I think, almost as much of a miracle. And that is, it connected us. Okay, so we're going to just read this. Verse 26. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one. All the separate issues that go on in the world are not in existence in the Church of Jesus Christ, in God's mind. Because he has made us one. We're not trying to be one. In Christ, we already are one, united in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is saying, I just want to emphasize, it's not about your race. It's not about the color of your skin. It's not about where you're from. It's not about your social standing. It's not about whether you're a man or a woman. It's not about whether you're a boss or an employee. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And so all the separate, the divisive things, the things that separate out people, God says, actually, if you know who you are, you won't live in separation. Because I've put you together in the family of God. Now, you come into the family only through new birth. You're born again into the family of God. But just like a natural birth of a baby, that baby isn't born without parents, even if the parents reject it naturally. You still need a father and mother. And in a normal family, in a God-given family unit, you have a mum and a dad and children, or a child and brothers and sisters, don't you? You're born into that. You didn't get to choose. And it's the same. If you're born again, you're born into us. Born of God together. We're family. And this is so important, because what Jesus did on the cross is a miracle of connection. Are you with me this morning? It's a miracle of all our disconnects are over. Unless you want to live with your carnal mindset and separate out. See, I don't believe in youth churches, age-specific churches. I believe in all ages. I don't believe in women church, men church, because the separation's over. I don't believe in nationalities. I don't believe in black churches or white churches. Boom! I believe in the Church of Jesus Christ. One people under God. Created one. I don't believe in your social standing or mine being different. I believe we're one. We're on an equal playing field, guys. Why? Because Christ is in us. We all have the same inheritance, the same presence, the same purpose, the same ability, and we've got the same family. Amen. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he lived in this model of connection. He modeled a three-point connection. Now, if you think of a plug, you know, that goes in your wall. Some of you don't need a hairdryer. I realized that this morning, but your hair's a little too short. But mine, if I plug it in, it will work. And Jesus, if you think about the three points of a plug, there's one at the top, isn't there? Look, I am not an electrician. If you want to know the details, go and see the electricians in the church. They're the experts. I'm not. All I know is three pins. Top one, and the thing is, it's a this nation revelation. Okay? So this is not going to work in America. But this is a three-point plug that we have here. Top, and then two down, which actually forms, if you think about it, and join the dots, forms a triangle, doesn't it? Anybody see with my hands? I'm forming a triangle. You could do it too. We could do a triangle. That's it. Now, Jesus lived in these three connections. He lived in his relationship with God, and then he lived in relationship with his followers. And today we're his followers, the disciples of Jesus Christ, or his church. We're called out ones. And then in relationship with the world, he always, his mission was to always go out and reach a hurt and dying world. And he would often go away and pray on his own. His relationship with God meant that he would pray, he would listen, and even to the point where Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, I only do what the Father tells me to do. He wouldn't even speak words that he hadn't first heard. That's mega. He lived in this relationship that meant life was flowing continually to Jesus from his Father. He didn't live with a book. He lived in relationship. Okay? He lived the Word of God. He was the Word of God. Everything he did was to fulfill the Word, but it was out of this Spirit-filled, led relationship with his Father. And he got to do the works of God. He said, I didn't do anything unless my Father shows me what to do. So every miracle Jesus did, he'd already seen the Father doing it. So he had this close connection with his Father. But that relationship spilled out into the purpose of God for people. And you know that Jesus had a lot of people that followed him. There were crowds. He had 72 one day that he sent out on mission, so he had a larger crowd. But Jesus knew that with 72, I can't do this kind of really intense training. We can't be really in relationship and have a strong relationship together. We're going to have to break this down and bring it into 12. So he chose 12. He brought a smaller group. Then he had the 72. Then he had the crowds. And he actually modeled that he wants strong relationships with disciples together in a small group. So Jesus was showing us how life works. And if you think about a plug, if one of these points is slightly out, you miss connection and you miss power. The whole system fails, doesn't it? Because you've got to be connected at all three points. And Jesus, you know, he wouldn't just camp around God and us. So he wasn't just God and me. He went to God and us, but he said, this isn't just it. Because, you know, I actually think if it's just God and church, we will dry up pretty quickly. Because we're not created for just two points. We're created for three connections. And he said, I'm going to lead you out to connect with the world. So that when I'm gone, you're going to understand that relationships are the key in your Christian life to divine power. Relationships with God, relationships in the church, both the wider church, the big meetings, but also the smaller groups. Because if you connect in this way, you're going to make strong followers of Jesus Christ who will be shaped and taught and be real about how to live the Christian life together. And together you will be on mission to win the world, supporting one another and seeing the kingdom of heaven advance. When Jesus prayed before his crucifixion, he prayed for the unity. He knew that we would be made one in Christ Jesus, but he knew that unity would be attacked. And he prayed, Lord, make them one, keep them one as we are one. And he also prayed and he commanded his disciples to love one another as I have loved you, he said, in the same way that I've expressed love. And I think it's so important we don't take on the model of the world of what love is. The Hallmark cards, I like receiving them occasionally. But it's so often false love. Because true love is faithful. True love speaks the truth when you need to hear it in love. True love actually brings about power for destiny. If somebody, if you live in this relational love dimension and connection, you fulfill your destiny in Christ. You cannot fulfill the plan that God has for you in isolation, disconnected, disjointed, outside the will of God. And Jesus basically was saying you need to keep the priority of three-dimensional relationships, this triangle. Now, I think this is a simple shape, a triangle, isn't it? Yeah. If we build our lives thinking triangle, we'll know what we mean, do we? Yeah. Relationship up, relationship together in, relationship with the world out. You can do up in out through this connection. And if you get plugged in, God is a source of power in all of these areas. We don't do this in our own power, do we? We do it with the supply of the Holy Spirit, because this is not a work of law. It's a work of the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand? We need the Holy Spirit to reveal the character of Christ, when otherwise you get the character of my flesh. Hello? Do we not need the Holy Spirit to relate? Isn't that one of the most important areas of the power of the Holy Spirit, is how we relate to each other? We need the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said that when he was going to build his church, he'd build it just like this, in the same way as he'd lived it and modeled it, right? I'm not going to change the build just because I leave. I'm going to ask you to build like that. I'm going to ask you to do the triangle and focus and make sure that relationships, when they're in place and connections are made, you will see the power to show that this all-surpassing power is of God and not of us. And the early church were famous for the demonstrations of the Spirit and power, but they were also famous for their love for one another. They were there for each other. When one was down, the other one picked them up. They knew if someone was missing, because they knew as soon as somebody went into isolation, they were in danger of the roaring lion seeking to devour. As soon as someone stepped out of their God-made community, their oneness in Christ, and disconnected, they knew they were up for grabs from Satan. And they knew they were in danger of backsliding. Right? I know as soon as someone isolates themselves in the body of Christ, I know for sure they're going to miss the power of God in their lives, they're going to miss their destiny, and they're going to be vulnerable to attack and to be taken out. And so Jesus said, I want my church built this way. The church didn't just attend a meeting. That wasn't church. Church was a people, a family, living together in big meetings, yes, like this morning, where everybody gathered. It was organized. There was some structure. Because if there isn't any, you wouldn't know when to meet, and you probably wouldn't meet anyway. So there was organized meetings on a corporate day when people met. There was also organized little groups that met. Because, you know, you don't just show up. It's like, when are we meeting? Great, I'll be there. And they used to meet in homes. And they used to talk about the word, the ministry leaders were bringing to the body. How do we apply this to our lives? How can we glorify Jesus together? And how can we accomplish his mission to reach somebody this week for the gospel? That's how they lived. And they loved each other. And if someone was sick, definitely they got hands-on prayer. And they got miracles. And they saw provision. Oh, okay, so you've lost your job. Just let me stand in the gap and I'll make sure that the extra I've got is going to help you to survive. There was this love that broke the boundary of it's all mine into it's ours. And we can live together in this amazing power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the church, the world-changing church of Jesus Christ. It's a false teaching that it's just God and me. It's got to die in each one of us. It's got to be the triangle, the shape that Jesus came to model and to bring. This connected life that makes all of life work. Paul spoke about this in Ephesians. I think I have a slide here He says from Jesus, from him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul says the church is like a body, a physical body, which if you think about your physical body, you really need to know that every part is coming with you. If for any reason you imagine a tourniquet or something stifling the flow of blood to one part of my body, I will need to cut that tie to start the flow again, because I know that if it carries on, this whole thing's gonna get lifeless. And Paul says the church is the body of Christ. Isn't that an awesome word? We are the body, the very body of Christ, not of Kingdom Faith. Don't live there, it's too low. We are the body of Christ. The expression of Jesus on the earth, the power, showing this all-surpassing power, showing this relational connectedness that has ended all separateness. And is demonstrating, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples. The world will be able to go clocking in, those guys, they're followers of Jesus. How? He didn't say by the miracles, although the miracles are all an important part of the ministry of Jesus. He says by the way they love each other. By the way they connect and live connected relationships with one another. The world will know. And I can't tell you how we must have a war on division, slander, criticism, and words that tear down our brothers and sisters and the body of Christ. Because that is the work of Satan and sin. Only words to build, to lift, to encourage, sometimes to challenge and speak the truth in love. Otherwise you'll stay the same and you won't be transformed into his likeness. And we need each other. And this is what this is saying. Each part supplies. Okay, so you are an important part of the body of Christ. You're an important part of this local church. You're not here by accident. You're here because God put you here. I'm just going to use this couple as an example because they've joined us fairly recently from Spain, Sharon and Mateo. And one of the things that really hit me about what they said was people do not know how important it is to be in place in the body of Christ. And they said the reason that we came back is because we knew we could find our place. And we knew that it wasn't wherever we were. And they had to move countries to come and join the body of Christ here. And let me tell you, it's more important, not geographically where you live, it's more important to find your place. It works with this purpose and intentionality of building your whole lives around this triangle. Working life, everything, where you live, what you do with your time, it's built around these 3 points. Hello, anybody? Are you? This is radical, even though I kind of knew what I was preaching, but actually I'm saying this is radical this morning. This is where your life will be the best it can be, the most fruitful it can be, and you'll see divine power. Do you not want the power and the fruit? Anybody want the power and the fruit? Triangle. 3-point connection plugged in to the source, which is relationship with Jesus. You know, I can't tell you how important the church is to me. You. I can't tell you how important it is you show and play your part. If I could just be real with you, we actually don't work well without you. Of course not, like my body wouldn't work well. Your small groups don't work well without you, because it's where you're supposed to be. It's where you're called to be. It's where you're to be intentional about building your life right. The beginning of this year, God gave us a word to come and build a house. My house, he said, my church. And he said, okay, let me give you a shape, guys. You want to know what you're building? Triangle. So that my glory will fill this temple and your latter days will be greater than the former. And so this morning we are getting God's view, God's mind on building your life right. And I don't care how old you are, what season of life you're in, this is it. It won't change from these three relational connections. And it won't change like just this God and us. It's got to be us praying for, encouraging workplace mission, encouraging our neighbors, praying for each other so that we'll be fruitful in winning people to Christ. It's having ideas. Hey, you know what we could do as a group? We could do something to actually help that person and get the gospel into their lives together. Jesus never sent people out individually. He said, go out by twos. And the early church were this powerful force of the Holy Spirit bringing the kingdom, the good news, miracles, but also this model of family that actually was transformational. I believe with all of my heart that's what the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for us to show them the model. Not just to teach them about Jesus, but living the model of relationship like that. And I would put it to you this morning, that's what the Holy Spirit's waiting for. And sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, there's a fuse in a plug. And when you get overloaded, it fuses. You know, if I plugged in my hair dry, we did that once down here. We plugged in too many heaters when the boiler didn't work one meeting when we went downstairs. And the whole place fused. Why? Because there was too much demand on those, you know, it just was given out to too many things. And you know, sometimes in life you can give out to too many things, you blow a fuse. Try God's way. It works. Relationship with God, relationship in the church, and relationship with the world. Build like that, and you won't blow a fuse. In fact, you'll see the power. Amen. Which might mean you stop allowing other things to place a demand on you. But actually, when you stand before the Lord on that day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our life, you'll be able to say, Lord, I cut out those things that blew my fuse because I made sure that I was building my life according to the heavenly pattern. And not according to the demands that everybody else was making on me. But it's much more than that. I think we're to share our joys. We're to be able to share some of the issues that go on in our lives that we find difficult to talk about. But actually, we can actually help each other in a discipleship setting where we can really help one another to live in freedom or to hear the Lord and move forward together. Now, this morning we are going to launch something new in this church, in the history of this church. And it's all to do with living connected. Hashtag live connected. Because for 15 years as a church, when we came down to plant the church here, God spoke to us to not just have corporate meetings, prayer meetings, but to have small groups, which we've called faith groups for many years. And because that's the biblical model in the book of Acts, that's really the will of God and always has been for us as a church. But God has spoken to us about changing the name of our faith groups. Not because they should be any less faith-filled, because without faith it's impossible to please God. But he's spoken to us about calling them connect groups so that we live connected in the triangle with God, us, and the world. We understand that everything we do together is to build into these three points. It's a three-point connection. And you might be sitting there saying, okay, what's in a name change? And you're thinking this through and you're thinking, well, what's going to make the difference in my life then to call it not a faith group, because actually that'll be quite difficult after 15 years. And I'll have to apologize many times because my automatic button is, oh, there's faith groups this week. And so forgive all of my mistakes and I forgive yours too. But why do we need to change? Well, because I think this word connect speaks a whole lot more about the purpose of God for each and every individual to live a free, happy, fulfilled life than faith groups. And I believe that a name change can actually produce both a different mindset but a different faith. You see, I connect with you not just because I should, but because I know that together we supply, each one of us, a part of the grace and the giftings of the Holy Spirit so that God can do what he wants to do amongst us. And Abraham was called Abram once in his early years. When he was first called, it was A-B-R-A-M. And that meant exalted father. And God spoke to him about being fruitful and multiplying and increasing him greatly. And in Genesis 17, I think it was probably a year before Isaac was born and the fruit really came, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to bless you and multiply you through you. Nations are going to come. You will multiply exceedingly. But he said, I'm asking you to change your name. It's no longer Abram. It's Abraham, which means father of many nations. And so every time Abraham used his name or somebody else used his name, they might have slipped up occasionally and went, Abram, oh no, Abraham, because everybody around them had to get used to it, like Sarah had to change her name too. It was a declaration of really the purpose of God and the promise of God for them as a people. Amen. And every time we use the word connect, we know what we mean, don't we? So it brought the promise of God closer. Jesus, bring it. This exceedingly great army is our promise. But you know, the skeleton had to connect. Oh yes, God brought the skeleton together, put the flesh on, filled it with his spirit, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And so we need to understand with the mind of Christ this morning what this name change means. It means get plugged in. You may already be plugged in, but this morning I believe there's a freshness and a need for all of us to say, I'm not just getting plugged into people. I'm getting plugged into God in people. We're getting plugged into God together. Amen. And then on the next slide, we've got some new literature. We've got new publicity, which we'd like all of you to take away, put on your fridge, and renew your minds. Sunday meetings are great, but connect groups empower you to know God better, make faith friends, and reach your world. It's a three-point connection. And we're going to be asking anyone who joins the church, because it's the will of God for every single follower of Jesus Christ, join a connect group. And I think the Lord's emphasizing something here today. Walk out your faith, build meaningful relationships, and together win others to Christ. Now, all I can say is the obedience of faith needs to come into this and a freshness of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to stand and pray and ask that actually this treasure in each one of us, this jar of clay, in our relationships will show. And in our faith group, connect group leaders, you see, it's a renewal of the mind. And we've had to hold this revelation for 6 months. The Lord gave us this 6 months ago to start making some changes. And today's the day he said to launch it. So I've had to keep saying faith groups when I've known it's been connect for and now I need to connect groups. But we're going to pray that this all-surpassing power will be of God and not us. Yeah. Amen. Because I know how much we need each other. But I think we can increase on knowledge of how much. Because of the Christ in you, you have a supply to give. And you've got a lot to receive as well. So there's this give and take happening, this flow of divine life. But we want it to be God, don't we? Not a rigid system. So let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. How are you doing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank God we're plugged in because of Jesus. Come on, let's just thank the Lord that we're plugged into the eternal life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you, through your spirit, your mercy, your presence in us, you have made us one in spirit with you. That we are plugged in, we are connected with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the first and foremost priority of our lives, our relationship with you in prayer and in the word and listening to you and walking out in obedience to your word through the power of your spirit. But Lord, I thank you that you've shown us and modeled that life does not work just me and you. That you have, Lord, brought us into your family of believers, and that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Just thank the Lord that all our separateness has gone through the cross of Jesus Christ, that we're one in Christ. Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.